Good morning. This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Lake Effect Mayan Silver has been reporting this week for us and for WUWM News on diversity in Sherman Park. Yesterday, she introduced us to two adjacent businesses, a barbershop catering to mainly African-American customers, and the kosher butcher and deli next door.
During Morning Edition today, Mayan reported just what led Sherman Park to become the diverse place it is today. We continue that exploration on Lake Effect with historian John Gerda, who explained to her how these two vastly different traditions ended up sharing a neighborhood.
Starting with the Jewish community, for the Eastern European Jews, the foothold in Milwaukee was the Haymarket area, which is right around the Hillside Terrace housing project, around between 12th and 3rd, and maybe Juneau up to about Walnut, that section. And they began there back in the 1880s, and that had been a German neighborhood, and the vectors in Milwaukee are really obvious, and they are in most cities. You kind of begin at the heart of town and move out in very predictable directions. So the Germans moved north and west as they advanced economically, and the Jews followed them. So their foothold is the 1880s. By the turn of the 20th century, they are moving not far, but up to maybe North Avenue. Teens and 20s is when they really began to move in that direction in large numbers. And then the major movement was through the decade of the 1920s out to Sherman Park. And that's the area between 31st and 60th and North Avenue and Capitol Drive and Center Street and Burleigh. Became their main corridors. There were Jewish businesses there, everyone from Guten's Deli to the Sanitary Kosher Market to New Method Hebrew School. And interestingly, although a lot of the people moved out there, the synagogues did not follow largely until after World War II. So you have the war ends in 45, and in the next 15 years, you've got six synagogues locating in the Sherman Park neighborhood, largely on Center and Burleigh. There had been one a little earlier, but it was not quite in Sherman Park. It was Bethel, which was down in Washington Heights. That goes back to 1923. And that was the first synagogue in Milwaukee, west of 13th Street. So that's kind of where the movement was. So you have a very mixed population. So there were a lot of Germans out there, some Irish, a variety of other European groups. But Jews were, because they had all the institutions, a very visible component of that population. The African-American population was the identical story. They begin even earlier in Milwaukee. They go back to the 1830s. By 1850, there were probably 100 African-Americans in Milwaukee. And in time, their neighborhood became right around the old Haymarket, the old Jewish quarter back west of Schlitz Brewery. And the area a bit north, 3rd Street, the Bronzeville section, 3rd, Walnut, up North Avenue, that becomes their commercial heart. And just like the Germans first and then the Jews, the African-Americans moved north and west on those same vectors, Fond du Lac Avenue, Titonia, Lisbon. And by the 1970s, is when they were a significant presence in Sherman Park. I think in 1980, they were about 26% of Sherman Park's population. So that was kind of a critical mass. And for all three groups, the motivation was the same. You are moving out as you are moving up, looking for a better quality of life for your families.
And why is it that the better quality of life is out? Why was it that, for instance, the Germans originally moved out there and then the Jews followed and then African-Americans? Like, what was better about those areas?
Sort of the American way. Kind of every generation has an expectation of doing better than its parents. And especially for immigrants, their kids, were the ones who were living the American dream, where their parents were kind of living in both worlds in a lot of ways. So, for instance, on the north side, those houses in the Haymarket area, they weren't a whole lot to begin with, and they had not improved with age. So there was a very obvious increase in the standard of living as you moved out to new homes. It's the same thing that motivated people after World War II to move to the suburbs all across the country. You know, your place of your own, new house, new appliances. You know, it's kind of the American dream of advancement, and that was true. That was true for all the groups.
I see. Was the school a major draw in the Sherman Park area?
It was among the major draws. Washington High School opens back in 1915 on Sherman Boulevard, so it was a new school, you know, kind of waiting for you know, critical mass of population, and that became widely considered the best high school in Milwaukee. So that became a magnet, but it was by no means the only one. It was this much more generalized pattern of moving out as you move up. Education was part of that, but so was housing, so were businesses, so were the yards. So it was kind of a complex of all those factors.
And were there better jobs out in, like, further out areas like Sherman Park?
No. It was not so much economically driven. By the time Sherman Park really experienced its great growth in the 1920s, Milwaukee, like most U.S. cities, had made the transition to a very automobile-oriented culture. Streetcars were still really important, and there were good lines kind of going out in that direction. But a lot of people who built those houses in Sherman Park back in the 1920s were commuting back to work the north side or downtown. In the case of the Jewish population, merchants, professionals, you know, people who were largely white-collar. There were some blue-collar workers, but not as many. For African-Americans, there were a lot of industrial jobs along the 30th Street Industrial Corridor that runs from Miller Brewing down there in Highland all the way up to past A.O. Smith on Capitol Drive. So there were lots and lots of jobs there. And that was also a draw, just as education was. But again, it was that far more generalized pattern of migration out from an old and somewhat weather-beaten part of town out to something new.
And was it the Germans who built those houses out in Sherman Park?
Initially, they were the largest group, but it was kind of mixed European back in the 20s, and Jewish families as well built those homes. You know, so a lot of those were. That was the first pile of sticks on any of those lots. There were those families who moved out there and built back in the 20s.
And why was it that maybe parts of Sherman Park have deteriorated as time has gone on?
Part of the same pattern. You know, you have deterioration of the very heart of the inner city. You know, partly it's a function of the age of homes. A greater part is a function of income, and that is related to a higher proportion of renter-occupied homes and owner-occupied homes. Landlords, you know, not being as diligent about upkeep as, you know, you would hope them to be. So it's been a complex of sort of the physical issues, and what drives a lot of that is the deindustrialization of a lot of Milwaukee, places like the 30th Street Industrial Corridor, beginning in the 1980s. That was when things really began to change. And that's national. It's not just Milwaukee. We lost about a quarter of our manufacturing jobs between 79 and 83, and a lot of those were held by African Americans. So it was Milwaukee, relatively speaking, suffered a less severe loss of jobs than other cities, but still it was you certainly characterize it as catastrophic. So, you know, without means to keep those houses in good shape, they began to deteriorate even faster. So it was kind of a blend of age and income.
And how has the Jewish community been able to upkeep their homes and that type of thing?
The Orthodox community there, and that's the other pattern. By the 1970s, you have a lot of movement of the original Jewish residents, their descendants by that time, and their congregations, in large part to the area east of the Milwaukee River, so the North Shore especially. And it's really interesting. If you follow the patterns, the first synagogue row in Milwaukee was around Cherry Street, between 3rd and 6th, and the next one out was Center Street in Burleigh, between roughly 31st and 60th, and the next one out was Mequon Road, west of Fort Washington Road. So you have this this really very interesting, you know, kind of migration. So there was a movement out of the Orthodox congregations, many of whom became conservative, and the last one remaining there was Beth Yehuda. And one of the real attractions for the people of Beth Yehuda was this wonderful housing stock. You've got these great land and stone brick period revivals, these great bungalows from the 20s. And as the area, it was kind of a mixed blessing, but as the area lost some of its economic power, those houses were really reasonably priced. So you could get a great house in Sherman Park, a great yard. And these were homes that had been, for the most part, pretty well maintained from the time they were built back in the 1920s, in some cases the 1930s. So how they were able to preserve that neighborhood was simply to maintain standards that were already there.
And when the Jewish population was there over the decades, did it tend to be an Orthodox Jewish population, or was it a mixed Orthodox secular?
It was largely Orthodox, but what was going on in American society and in American Judaism was kind of this movement away from the strictures of more traditional religions. And early on, there were only two branches. It was Reform, which was the more liberal, and in its early incarnations, more German. And the Eastern Europeans were largely Orthodox, and that was with a small O, and it was the only Judaism they know. And what happened by the teens and 20s, you have the conservative movement entering kind of the middle space between them, sort of between the strictures of tradition and what was felt to be the overly liberal interpretations of Reform. So a lot of congregations that had been Orthodox became conservative. At the same time, there was a movement away among Jews as among Catholics and Protestants in all those neighborhoods, away from strict observance and toward a more secular interpretation of society. So those things were going on at the same time, kind of the loosening of traditional ties to Orthodoxy in the Jews' case, and the more secularization of American society that really became a tidal wave after World War II.
Did the Jewish population mainly attend, did the kids mostly attend Washington High School and the public schools, or were there private Jewish schools?
The Jewish schools were largely value-added. No, there weren't any until the Yeshiva Elementary School opened, by Beth Yehuda. I don't believe there was a full-time school. Beth Israel had one on Titonia back in the 1920s. But for the most part, it was the synagogue's role and the families, obviously, to make sure there was education about tradition, both cultural and religious. But the main education was done in the public schools.
As far as the status today of the two communities that are living there along with any other communities that are inhabiting Sherman Park, do you think that there's things and lessons we can learn from that, or trends or anything like that?
One of the lessons of Sherman Park, that's been for the last at least generation and more, for going on 50 years at this point, an experiment in diversity. And there still is very impressive diversity there, but I think in 2010, the African-American population was roughly 83% of Sherman Park's population. So it's become, obviously, very much a majority black neighborhood. There are other groups there, including Gentile preservationists who just love those old bungalows and period revival homes. But Beth Yehuda, the Orthodox community there, is something of a village inside the city, and I think that's how they see themselves as well. And they've been certainly they are a community that has its own very strong sense of internal solidarity, but they've also been involved in the area in and surrounding their community. So I guess if there's a lesson there, the two lessons would be how hard it is to maintain in American society a true diversity for the long term, and another lesson would be that in the case of Sherman Park, you really do have, in this case, Orthodox Jews and African Americans living side by side, generally speaking, in harmony, symbiosis.
I have one last question, which is, why is it hard to maintain true diversity for long term? I mean, that's a huge question. Is there sort of a short answer?
Maintaining long-term diversity it's not a Milwaukee issue or even an American issue. No, I think it's a human tendency to, first of all, be among people who look and in many ways behave like us. There's a comfort in that, and you see it now in kind of the siloization of American politics, where we all kind of live in these echo chambers that reinforce our own viewpoints. You see the same thing in terms of larger cultural issues. If you look at it long term in American society especially, many groups have a strong sense of us, and if you have a strong sense of us, you're going to have a strong sense of them. So that kind of almost implies that there will be separation. In the case of black and white relations, the dynamic has a lot of extra power as a result of racism. And that goes back to slavery and comes all the way up to the deindustrialization of the last quarter century or so that has really had a catastrophic impact on the economic profile of Milwaukee's African-American community. And it's obviously not just Milwaukee. You know, you look at the north side of Milwaukee and compare it with the south side of Chicago or the east side of Cleveland or central Detroit, and these are virtually interchangeable landscapes, segregated and impoverished and kind of out of the mainstream of American society. And this is an issue that we have yet to get our arms around as a society. So unless you have an extremely high density, in some ways almost anonymous section of town, like a Brooklyn, you know, where it's just kind of a dice box. You just throw everybody out in the landscape. You know, even there, there are tensions, but you know, you have to have that kind of scale of an intensity of diversity that to make it work. In Milwaukee's case, the River West is a good example. East Side, you know, is certainly quite diverse. You know, so we don't live, you know, in these sort of completely self-contained and walled-off enclaves. It's a strong tendency, but at the same time, it can be overcome.
And so that's one of the reasons that keeping some diversity in Sherman Park through this long history is something that Milwaukee should value.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
John Gerda is a Milwaukee historian and author of numerous books, including The Making of Milwaukee and Cream City Chronicles. He spoke with Mayon Silver, and you can see pictures and hear all the parts of her series on Sherman Park, including her pieces for Morning Edition at WUWM.com.